Well, I'm Mike Frisch, and along with Tom Naples and Peggy Milleron, we are the 198 String Band. And we do a multimedia program that's humanities-based about music from the Dust Bowl and the Great Migration and from Oklahoma to California and the Depression. And so at the Humanities Festival, we'll be presenting some of this material. We combine the music with documentary photographs and audio sources like some oral histories and poems and narratives, and it gets woven together. And in the festival, we'll be doing a workshop presentation, which means we'll really do a couple of songs, look at the photographs, look at the lyrics, get people talking about how this functions as a way to talk about the history from the time. These are all archival things that come out of field recordings made in the 1930s and early 1940s. It's pretty remarkable material, and it really is right on theme, which is migration and immigration and dislocation. And so these are the stories and songs and experiences of people who lived through the Dust Bowl and the Move West, and we'll be presenting some of that and trying to get folks talking about it and its relevance today.
I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, because you probably have heard this in some of these archival recordings, but what that music meant to those people who were performing it, writing it, creating it, what did it mean to them at that time? Can you maybe give us some insight?
Well, it's their story, and a lot of it is people talking about what happened to them, trying to get to the feeling. So a lot of the material we found is about homesickness and about kind of being on the edge, that I'm in a migrant camp and I don't want to be here, but thank you very much, because I was down and out. And if this hadn't been provided, I don't know what would have happened. I'd like to be in Oklahoma, but there was nothing there, and I'm in the desert trying to get to California now. So it's not easy to put into a political label. It's much more complex than that, and people turned often to music and poems and just telling their stories orally as a way to, I think, get in touch with what they were going through and to share it with other people and to, you know, make a new life as they tried to live through it.
I'm curious about the name of the band, the 198 String Band. From where does that come?
Well, it's a little Buffalo joke, which many of your listeners will know, that there aren't too many places in the country where people call highways with the definite article, take the 198 to the 33, you know, to the 90. And so we all live near the 198, so we just decided one day to call it the 198 String Band.
Very nice. The Humanities Festival. When you heard that there was going to be a Humanities Festival in Buffalo, what were your thoughts about it, and I guess what are your expectations moving forward?
Well, I come at it from a number of ends, because I've been at UB a long time, and I'm also on the New York Council for the Humanities, which is one of the sponsors. So it seemed an idea just right for Buffalo, that there's a lot of interest in, from our point of view, in stories and the richness of experience that people have. And grouped around this theme, this is a chance to mobilize a great deal of expertise and put it in dialogue with a diversity of community experiences. So it's really a coming together of humanity scholars, but also people who are their own form of scholarship through their lives and the expertise that they have coming out of their experience. And we'll all have a chance, I think, to talk about what we share and what differentiates us around this theme, and it should be, I think, a kind of interesting day. There's both formal presentations, a lot of informal discussion. There'll be tents outside with free music and dances representing a lot of different cultures, some terrific food from the West Side Bazaar, which is in itself a kind of interesting new multicultural venture. And it's the first time this has been tried in Buffalo, and the arts have done a lot. But this is a chance to show that the humanities also can be the basis for very, very lively community discussion and a really exciting day together, and that's what people will have on September 27th.
Your journey to finding out about the Dust Bowl and the music and stuff. I mean, you're a history professor, so there's some background in that. But to go this deep into it, actually playing the music and you know, calling up the archival audio, I'm curious how what the path was that led you to that.
Well, in a way, the path is very much in sync with what I just said about different ways people come together. I've sort of taught this material a lot, but didn't know it in great depth. And the research on this was done by my friend Tom Naples and Peggy Milleron, who are essentially, Peggy at that time and Tom were community-based researchers who had gotten interested in this stuff. Peggy mainly in the photographs, and Tom's the one who did most of the archival tracing of these songs. He's a musician and a troubadour and found his way to things from reunions of migrant camp people to CCC reunions to archives in the Library of Congress and, you know, really obscure record collections. So they had developed the beginnings of this program, and I originally connected with them just musically. We got together and sort of clicked as a musical group. Music is something I've done on the side. And then gradually, the stuff that I've done with oral history began to be very relevant because we were finding all these audio sources. So even within our little group, it's been a combination of the academic and the kind of interest and community-based momentum that people have always developed quite on their own, whether there are official humanities scholars there or not. And somehow we put it all together and developed this multimedia program.
What about musical instruments? What are we going to hear? What's your musical instrument?
Well, I play fiddle and guitar and do the vocals. Tom plays banjo and guitar. He's really a superb guitarist. And Peggy is the lead vocalist and plays guitar. So we're a old-fashioned string band, mostly guitar, banjo, and fiddle. Occasionally, Tom does auto harp, although I'm not sure if we'll be doing that on this program or not. But fiddle, guitar, and banjo, and vocals with a lot of close harmonies.
I think of Woody Guthrie as being the champion of that era. I guess first maybe a thought about him. And are there others that get overlooked who were very rich and involved in that type of music, making it, bringing it across the country as he did?
Oh, absolutely. We do a couple of Woody songs, which are, of course, you know, many of them are about this Dust Bowl experience and the migration. But we like to say that a lot of the material we found is from people who were Woody Guthries who never became Woody Guthries. So we do several songs by a man named Jack Bryant, who was an Okie on the migrant trail. Woody was already a professional musician by that point. This guy, Jack Bryant, was certainly a musician, but essentially a poor Okie, recorded six or eight songs in migrant camps, and we have not been able to find out a stitch of information about whatever happened to him. He just disappears from sight. Woody Guthrie goes on to be an international icon, and yet people like Jack Bryant, and there are others, and some of the poets and the other songs that we have are from totally unknown people, but they were all having the kind of experience that Woody stood for and often represented, and in some ways we're a little closer to it than him. And our feeling is Woody would have really liked the fact that we found he was often a little bit embarrassed at all the kind of attention that came to focus on him. And he's important because of what he was expressing in a much broader folk, you know, experience. And that's what we found a lot of in the archives. So we'll be doing most of the material we do, nobody's ever heard at all. I mean, it hasn't been recorded except in these field recordings, and it certainly has not been commercially available. So we feel it's kind of a privilege to be letting Woody be joined by people like Jack Bryant and others who are the unknown Woody Guthries, who are the voices of this Dust Bowl experience.
The recordings I've heard from Woody Guthrie over the years, very enjoyable. This, of course, we're talking about is almost an academic experience at the Humanities Festival. But are these other songs, are they equally enjoyable?
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrific stuff. And what we'll be doing is we'll be performing a number of songs, and then we'll, like, stop and invite people to let's talk about them. We'll pass out some lyrics. We do the songs against the backdrop of streaming documentary photographs. So we'll see what people want to talk about. What images really speak to them? What do they hear in those lyrics? What kind of feelings do they bring up? And music and images and voices and some of the audio stuff that we have are really a great way to get conversation going. So it won't be our part anyway. I think the whole festival is going to be pretty lively, but our part will certainly not be professors, you know, talking. It'll be presenting stuff and then inviting a kind of living room discussion of what people feel and hear and respond to in the material that we're passing out and presenting.
And then earlier in our conversation, you mentioned how this isn't really about politics, but at the same time, are there lessons from this era, and especially lessons that you hear from this music, that maybe are going forgotten today and that maybe should be recalled? Because it was a time in America where, I mean, hopefully it'll never get like this again.
Well, I absolutely. And one of the things we want to do in the discussion is talk about, rather than me pronounce some lessons, really have people explore that. Well, what are the lessons? There are some things that are similar. There are some things that are different. The thing that strikes me about a lot of the material is how subtle it is. You know, the thing I mentioned before, that people are angry, but they're not consumed by anger. They don't want to be reduced to victims. They want the government help. They're very appreciative of it, but they don't want to be, you know, we have a CD which comes from one of the songs called I'd Rather Not Be on the Rolls of Relief. Hmm. You know, and yet, thank you very much, because without this, I don't know where I'd be. So that kind of edge is something we need a lot in our political discourse now, which often gets, you know, you're either a welfare bum or you're this or you're that. And all of these people are saying, we're not in any of those boxes. We're human beings living through a complex time. We don't want to be reduced to our suffering. But, man, these are tough times, and we've got to pull together and find a way through them. And if that lesson speaks to people now in communities like Buffalo, then that's a good thing. And they'll find all sorts of things, we hope, in the material to talk about and to chew over as they connect the history to what's going on in the present.
Professor Frisch, thanks.
Thank you, Jay.